From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says all everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and ever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself, who just got some, as the millennials call, a chicken nuggies.
Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, Count. You gotta get it's one fluid
wait,
hand motion.
Wait, do it again, Bob.
It's one hand motion.
Okay, hold on.
Come to me.
Good evening.
Come
Bob.
To me. Come
good evening,
me.
Bob.
Come on, now you just look like you're trying to tell a cat to get away.
But yes, you the chicken nuggies, I believe they call them.
I think they call them that these days. You got the chicky nuggy meal, courtesy of yours truly.
Well, people are probably wondering, well, geez, why the heck is Bob feeding Count Panic some chicken nuggets? Well, one, you don't eat McDonald's, but you were on a mission
to
a bunch of McDonald's here today.
I don't eat meat.
No,
I do not eat meat.
Vegetarian.
I'm a vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian my entire life, actually. I'm allergic to meat, as folks may or may not know. So I don't eat meat.
But you had to. I mean, you had to go on a trip.
I didn't have to eat meat, but I had to find these things. If you guys are watching on Jed TV, you might see these plastic pails.
Yeah, I'll get a close-up shot of these pails, too.
I don't get it. And I'm going to explain why, right? I was not alive when these pails were a thing.
When were these a thing?
Before you, because you're a little older than
me. I'm 90.
You're 9900 or something?
9900.
Yeah. Something like that. I am right, I think, after this.
Because I don't remember this.
I was born probably right after the hype of these. I don't remember them at all. But there are certain people in life who like these things in my life, specifically the Queen of the Night. And I heard they were available, and I'm like, well, how hard could they be, man? I'll just go buy three buckets.
Yeah.
Because there's three, right? You got this orange pumpkin, this green witch, and this white ghost.
Yeah.
They all have names. One is called the McPumpkin.
The McPumpkin.
Pumpkin, yeah. And then there's the McGoblin, which is the green one. And then the McBoo, which is the white one.
Wait, the green one's a goblin?
I thought it looks like the classic witch, you know, but they call it the goblin, which is fine. Whatever they want to call it, they're going to call it.
Oh, okay. McWitch would be a... I
digress. Anyway, yes. So these things are available, right? And I think every child that was, like an adult that was a child in the 80s, like, rejoiced over these things. Now, with that being said, I don't remember them. Queen of Night wanted them. I decided to get up today at 10 o'clock in the morning and hit a couple McDonald's to get them. And I was able to find the green one off the bat. And apparently the green one was really hard to find. Everybody around the country got the white one. I eventually found the white one. I went to, actually it's an embarrassing amount of number of McDonald's I went to today, all ranging over the region in Northwest Indiana. A very embarrassing amount of, but I got word from that I heard the orange one was at the one down the street from the studio.
Okay.
I got here, you weren't here, so I said, you know what, I'll try one more. I went down there, and guess what? They had like 10 of these things left, so now I have a pumpkin one as well.
Well, I saw people on social media, they were going crazy over these
I don't get
here,
it,
Bob.
Don't get it. It was not for me, but I'm telling you, I guess I don't know if this is how Thanos feels.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But here's the thing, though. The pumpkin one was the hardest one for people to come by today, and it was the last McDonald's you had a shot at. And
I
you
got
it done, Bob. I'm proud of you there.
Yes.
But, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I don't remember those pails, but I remember
McNuggets.
The McNuggets with the costumes.
Yes,
if they bring those back, Bob.
I would not. I was just talking to Jacob Bartlett from Indianapolis right before we got in today, and I was when I was on my way to get the orange one, I was like, you know, I don't have any nostalgia for these things.
No.
I don't. I have zero attachment to these pails. If it wasn't for the Queen of Night, I would not care at all.
You're gonna be getting those pails.
But But I did them, tracked them down. I have all three now. Then they will go to the right person who will be very ecstatic for them. Not me, not my thing. But if they, wow. The nostalgic toy I remember was the chicken nugget.
Yeah, with the costumes.
The costumes. Yes.
The costumes.
I have a vague memory of putting one in like a vampire costume.
Yeah, yeah. There was that. There's a whole bunch of them there. But the thing with these pails, for people out there that are confused, the pail is a toy. There's no toy inside the pail. The pail is essentially
the
toy.
The pail is the toy.
Yeah. So I know people were asking online, well, geez, they forgot to give me a toy.
No, you got stickers and a pail.
Yeah.
Now,
have fun with that.
Now, real quick, before I continue with this, I'm sure for all the new fans that are listening, they're like, why are they talking about McDonald's?
It's a big thing.
Well, I'll tell you why, because we're your weekly-ish paranormal podcast where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite Halloween special on TV growing up as a kid.
Oh, man. It's hard to beat Charlie Brown Halloween.
Ah, the Great Pumpkin. The Great Pumpkin. Yeah. That's my mom's favorite.
Yeah.
There's a couple that really stand out to me, one of which that will always be there. There's two. The Boy Meets World Halloween special where they're running around the high school and every character is like dying to like a mass to kill. I remember that one. And then the Billy and Mandy episode when they're fighting a horde of zombies with like a Bruce Campbell-esque character. Trace Mondoon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I remember that one.
So those are like the two I remember.
Not as classic as, say, the Great Pumpkin.
I remember the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. I watched it every year.
It still does. TV, national TV every year. So
absolutely.
Testament to how good it is.
Yes. But anyway, last chance here. So the McDonald's buckets, have them all. They're all there, all good to go.
Are we sure this is it?
I don't care if there's more. I'm done.
There's always
no more.
A three.
Zilch.
You know what? They're probably going to release some new ones, like a werewolf or a vampire.
Nope.
No, nothing.
Nope, I'm done. I am retired from hunting buckets. However, with that being said, McDonald's, if you are listening to this podcast and sending me a cease and desist, hear me out. Sponsorship. Count Panic will eat all the meat you guys got. I will not eat meat. I'll eat some fries.
Like,
I'll have a Coke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'll enjoy those.
You have the best Coke. Coca-Cola.
Yes. That's what you got as well. I gave you Coke.
Thank you.
I prefer Coke over Pepsi, but that's just me. Oh. Pepsi, if you're listening, I'll take the sponsorship too.
Yeah.
And I'll gladly change my ways. And McDonald's, I know what you're thinking. You're like, man, we could really use the sponsor Paranormal Podcast. And I'll be right there to be like, yeah, absolutely. Paranormal, I'm your guy.
They should have a Bob After Dark Happy Meal.
Stop. If for whatever reason we got a McDonald's sponsorship and they decided to do Happy Meal toys of me and you.
Can you believe it? Like Bob and Lou.
I would have to go to all the stupid McDonald's again and go hunt down our own toys.
So are these going to be back tomorrow or is this just for one day only?
I'm assuming they're going to rotate them out. And I'll drop the subject after this, right?
Yeah, of course.
So apparently, according to the last manager I spoke to, and if you're listening from the Highland Meyer store, shout out to you. Thank you, guys. You made my day. All right, so check it. White ghost bucket was supposed to come first, right?
Okay. Oh, okay.
Once they run out of the white pumpkin ghost, they move on to the green witch bucket, right?
Yep.
Once the green witch bucket goes, then they move on to the orange pumpkin.
Interesting.
Now, I actually started and got the green one, then the white one, and then the orange one. Now I'm done. No more.
No, I know we're
no more.
We got to call as well. But I got to ask a question. We got to call too here as well. I got to ask a question. You think when people are asking, like say they ordered three of them, they couldn't give them the third one even though it was in the back because they had to
wait till they rotate out the thing.
That's amazing, Bob.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
All right. You take a call live.
We got a call. We're going to take it live. Here we go.
You're on the air, listener.
I can't believe this. I am actually on the phone with you and I'm listening to you complaining about McDonald's.
Wow,
thanks, mysterious listener.
Okay,
I'm not going to call you out because...
No, mysterious listener. Yeah, okay, now, wait a minute, I got to, because I'm listening to...
You're going to hear your voice,
and I'm
yes.
Okay, listen.
Yes, mysterious listener that I don't know.
Yeah, don't even say my name.
I won't.
Count Panic, this is actually for you, okay?
Sure.
You are to ask... Mm-hmm. Bob After Dark about his first encounter with a pumpkin.
Oh.
Now, the second year actually has to do with the episode of The Great Pumpkin.
I'll share that story.
And I want to hear Bob.
Okay.
No, yep. He has to
I'll,
tell
I'll share that story later.
I'm going to make noise. He's going to do it tonight.
No. He has to go through it now with the massacre.
All right, thank you. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Well, Bob, I got to know about
mysterious
the story
listener.
Now.
Mysterious listener. Oh, goodness, we need to get to the show.
I know we do, but we got time, Bob.
Okay, I know
the
we have time.
The night is young.
Yeah, but we have new listeners who are like, can you get to the spooky
stuff?
We're going
to get to the show. The Great Pumpkin.
All right, so I will tell you this very quickly.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Once upon a time,
yeah,
I was given my first pumpkin to carve.
Uh-huh.
And my mother gave me a potato peeler to carve my pumpkin. Okay. I was maybe two or three.
Wow.
Let's just say little Bobby Anderson did not care for the smell of the pumpkin and...
Wow.
Got a little ill.
Got a little
pumpkin.
Ill? Wow. Getting ill from pumpkins to getting ill from other things. I mean, you.
Yes.
But the pumpkin was your first experience with pumpkin, not a good experience.
Not a good experience, no.
But it's amazing you went down a road of loving spooky things because pumpkins
are
spooky things.
All right.
How are you feeling now with it?
Oh, pumpkins?
Yeah, you can smell them.
Easy. Fine, no problem.
Pumpkin spice and all that?
Pumpkins are great.
Cool.
All right. So before we move on to the show, you and I were at something this weekend.
We cannot
talk about a lot of it.
Well.
But Count Panic and I's weekend update, actually, for the first time in a while, our weekend update crosses paths.
We overlapped there, yeah.
Yeah, what did we do this weekend, Count?
Bob, you and I went to the Vampire Ball.
We did to the Vampire Ball. Bim Bam Boom Productions invited us out to the Vampire Ball.
And we had a great time at
We had a blast.
And again, Bob, we can't say too much, but fantastic time out there. The folks did a great job. There was a great contest, a costume contest.
Yes.
They chose a vampire queen.
Yes.
And we were a part of it all, and boy, oh boy, everybody was dressed up like fantastic looking gothic vampires and dressed.
And you showed up. Would you like to tell the audience what you wore to the Vampire Ball?
Here's what I wore to the Vampire Ball. I was the Midwestern vampire.
You were certainly the Midwestern.
I was wearing my traditional Count Panic cape. Of course, I'm Count Panic after all. Wearing the cape. I did have a cheap, I've got my regular fangs, but you take those on a special occasion, but I had a cheap pair of plastic fangs just in case I needed them. But other than that, I was basically dressed the way I am right now, wearing a hoodie and some jeans right there.
And a Bob After Dark t-shirt.
And a Bob After Dark t-shirt.
And keep in mind, his hoodie was red.
Like blood.
And he had, like, jeans, ripped black jeans, and some sneakers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dressed a little nicer. It's the Vampire Ball, and it was an interesting experience. We can't share a lot that went on because it's a family-friendly show. We will say that it was hosted at the Rock Bottom Brewery, which was a good time. We had there was some good craft beer going on. We could say there was a burlesque show.
Yeah, there was.
We'll say that much. We were entertained by a burlesque show and a harp player.
A harp player, yeah.
That's where we ended.
That was fantastic.
The aesthetic was nice. Chris Biddle, the host, he did a really good job. We look forward to going back next year and maybe getting involved a little bit more, but we had a blast. It was a really good time.
Yeah, and again, I felt I was wearing the traditional vampire cape when other people went to next level.
Oh, you were the most traditional looking vampire.
I feel like I was
the
most traditional looking vampire.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That was a fun time, though.
Absolutely.
Good weekend.
So that was your weekend?
That was my weekend.
Would you like to know how I spent my weekend after the Vampire Ball?
I can only imagine.
Ill. I got violently ill off of some hummus.
Yeah, you know what? Because you were having a great time, of course, there Saturday, but you noticed you were a little.
I was feeling a little
stomach.
Off. Yeah, I realized I was probably allergic to the hummus I was eating, and I didn't realize I was allergic to that particular hummus. Being a vegetarian, hummus is like one of the five food groups that you eat a lot of, that you're supposed to eat a lot of, because there's a lot of nutrients packed into the dip, and if made well, it tastes really good.
Yeah.
This particular batch tasted really well, but there had to have been something in it that got me ill. I only had one drink that night. I woke up the next day and I was feeling really sick. So that was I'm just now bouncing back today.
Yeah, you made it, Bob. I'm glad you're okay, because again, I left a little before you, and I didn't know if you were going to make it. But the hummus, you defeated the pumpkin smell, and you defeated the hummus. So,
yeah.
Made it.
All right. So that's our weekend updates.
That's the weekend update.
If this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, you know we usually split the show up into a couple different segments. We talk about the weird spooky news of the week, where you, the fans, submit articles to me to talk about. That could be anywhere from like cryptids being sighted or ghosts making it in the major media news outlets, or just high strangeness, or even science that's starting to like advance and borderlining on science fiction. But tonight, I have a very special thing to do for you before we get to that part. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the show, we have our meat and potatoes, or just for me, the potatoes, and for you, the meat, where we talk about the lore of the week, which is where we talk about something a little spooky in this month. We have everything themed to places that you can perform.
Okay. Yeah.
So we've been talking about, like, we talked about the one of the concert venue halls in Milwaukee.
I remember that. Yeah.
And then we talked about the... last week we talked about, help me out here, the comedy store,
the comedy club.
Yep. And now this week we're going to be talking a little bit about a specific theater in New York City, but we won't get to that just yet. So when the fans submit stories that they want to share, we usually share a ghost story or something that happened to them personally that might have really got to them and they wanted to share their story. I have an encounter personally that I want to share with the fans, because I have not told anybody except like my friends list, like my personal private Facebook. And that was just me typing it to get it out of my brain.
Okay.
I need to share this experience with you because it traumatized me for a good few hours to the point where like it was rough. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So hear me out. And remember, folks, this is what I do for my living. I am a professional paranormal investigator. I am a researcher. I do this podcast. I deal in high strangeness all the time, 24/7.
What you do?
And I have a certain level of skepticism that goes into what I do, right?
Yep.
I'm prefacing that by getting to the story here. Whenever I deal with a story, I have to consider what it could be versus what it could be based in reality versus what it could be paranormally. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I have to think, what can I do, or what's going on? And I legitimately can tell you I have nothing except for this experience that I'm about to share with you right now.
Okay.
And I've never had a more terrifying experience in my entire life. This was the scariest I've ever been.
All right.
So... not yesterday, the morning before last. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:35. I woke up and I was alone in bed. And I get up, I, you know, get myself calmed back down. I get back to sleep and, you know, wash your face off. Just kind of, you know, you wake up that early and you lay in bed and you get that weird first like jolt of energy. I'm trying to like put that away so I can go back to sleep. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm scrolling, doom scrolling through TikTok, and eventually I get to a point where I'm like, oh, okay, I can fall back asleep. In my dream, there was this greyhound dog that got loose from its owner, and the greyhound dog came up to me, and I was able to catch it for the woman, and she was able to approach me. While she was approaching me, at that moment, my brain separated from normal dream to lucid dream, right? You know what I mean by lucid dreaming? It's the concept that like you're aware that you're dreaming, so you're able to kind of control the environment around you, or you're able to interact in a way that's whatever you want it to be, right?
Yeah.
My brain separated to lucid dreaming mode, and I don't lucid dream often. I don't like to do it. It's a little too intense sometimes when you do what I do. You hear a lot of stories about a lot of bad nonsense,
of course.
Especially out there in kind of like the ether realm, if you will, or the you know what I'm saying? The dreamscape. There's a lot of nasty things that can lie out there in like the void or the, you know, whatever. And it could really get to you in dreams. But anyway, so a break free. Now, when I get to this point, I've seen a current trend going online about these people warning people not to ask what time it is in their dream. And I don't buy into that stuff very often because a lot of it is just like, very silly, nonsensical things. It's like when you play Bloody Mary, right? And it's like borderline creepypasta, ritual pasta stuff. And some of these people's responses were absolutely wild. You know, they're like, don't ask what time it is in your dream. I had a creature come to me and wake me up and put me back to sleep and wake me up and put me back to sleep. Or, you know, I was in a village with a bunch of townspeople and this entity appeared and threw a lightning bolt at me. And I felt shocked in my sleep. And I mean, I've heard different ones of these. And this was my first opportunity since I heard this thing going around that I was lucid dreaming. And I said, you know what? I'm going to dive in and I'm going to try this. I'm lucid dreaming. I know what I'm doing. So the woman approaches me after I catch her dog. And she says to me, honey, thank you for catching my dog, whatever it might have been. What could I do? Can I do something for you? And I look at her and I said, no, ma'am, you could just tell me what time it is. And I kid you not, I finished the sentence. And at this point, pardon my language, but all hell breaks loose in my dream. The woman's jaw becomes like unhinged to the size of a watermelon. And the image in front of me in the brain starts turning to static into a color bar test. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're working entertainment. So you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like the tones and stuff.
So I see the tones and I see a static message pop up in front of me that says, cannot compute. And you messed up, or something along the you messed up might not be exact, but it's along the lines. I can't remember the exact thing. And over the next however long I was asleep, my dreams became very strange very fast, and I could explain why. I had like that exact moment of like pure dread,
okay,
like that happened. So I wake up. And when I wake up, I usually sleep on my side. So there's this one point on the wall that I look at when I wake up. It's below like some like forest tapestry. So where the tapestry ends and where the wall color begins, there's just like this spot of fabric that's right there that I typically see because it's right in my line of sight. When I wake up, I see that spot. So I'm like, okay, I'm awake. It's right there in front of me. When I wake up, I'm at my mom's house and I'm looking for my mom, and all I can hear my mom is talking to me, but she's not in the house. And it sounds like as I approach her, her voice gets farther and farther away until I end up like I tried looking for her in her bedroom and I couldn't find her, and I collapsed on her bedroom floor. And I kept hearing screams on top of my mom talking, just like violent screams. And I wake up and then there it is again. Right there next to me is that spot on the wall. So I see it. I'm awake. I'm like, okay, well, that was weird. I just had like two nightmares back to back, or two like just weird moments. But this time when I woke up, I had sleep paralysis. Keep in mind, I don't ever have sleep paralysis. I might have had it once in my life, but I've never had it recently. And if you guys don't know what sleep paralysis is, it's like that weird feeling you get when you wake up and you can't move. And you want to scream, but your body's just in, like, shock.
Yeah.
But I didn't wake up with sleep paralysis. I had sleep paralysis in my dreams, and my lips were numb. And I felt something screaming again at me. Once again, I woke up, and I see that spot on the wall. Now, I have a trick when I have nightmares, right? Because you do this, you get nightmares. It's just kind of the name of the game, right? Mm-hmm. I grab them for my cell phone. Anytime I have one of these moments or I forget where I'm at, I travel a lot. So I sometimes don't remember where I'm sleeping. And if I forget, I always reach for my phone. My phone's kind of like my totem. So I reach for my phone, I feel my phone, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm back to reality. No big deal. So I reach for my phone and my wallpaper was turned to gore. Like a violent photo, nothing pretty. And so I'm trying to scroll through my phone and I'm like, what's going on? You know, I scroll through my phone and I'm seeing pictures that I didn't put on my phone, very violent images once again. And I see this image of, I've seen like weird image name files. One was scaryface.jpg. And I tried making a phone call, and anytime I got to a contact, either it was replaced by a violently scary image, or I'd make the phone call and it was screams. Once again, I wake up and I see the spot under my tapestry in the wall, right on that spot. And I said, okay, this is getting really bizarre. What's going on? So this time I wake up and I'm in a room filled with like graffiti spray painted on a wall. and the graffiti comes off the wall, forms this weird, lengthy, monster, demonic entity made out of spray-painted graffiti, and it starts lunging at me in bed.
Okay.
This time I wake up, same spot. I see the same spot on the wall. I'm like, okay, try the phone again. This time I get to my phone. I'm able to open it. My wallpaper is the same, and I'm able to open, like, same as it is in what I this world, right, our wake world. And the image on the screen was where it was supposed to be, and I open up Facebook Messenger. The first person that I see active is Elliot from ACG Paranormal. Yeah. I talked to him on the show. I'm like, I need you to call me. And he does, and Elliot works in the field, so he kind of gets it. And I explain what happened. I'm like, I don't know if I'm back. I'm really afraid I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And he's like, okay, are you alone? I find the queen of the night eventually. She was downstairs. I get down there, and we're back to normal. And I eventually started getting to my senses. And I the best way I could describe my experience that happened to me that morning, it felt like something punished me for asking the time in my dream. Something punished me and made me go through that loop of waking up and going to sleep. Nothing spoke to me. It was just something punished me in that time, and I just kept waking up and seeing that spot on the wall. So it wasn't like, I don't know, I've had bad dreams, I can write them off. I might still, and at that point I slept all night the night prior okay. Yeah. After I got done being sick, so it's not like,
interesting,
up to that point I wasn't sick anymore, so maybe it was the tail end of my sickness. But I just wanted to share that story.
So a couple questions here, Bob. At the time when you were contacting Elliot there,
yeah,
did you think that was a part of the dream as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. It took me a while. Like, I had to sit down and talk to Queen of the Night and, like, make her tell me things about where I was.
Interesting.
And, yep. And it was one of those things. And, like, I was afraid to call my mom, man. It was just one of those moments. It was legitimately the most terrified I've ever been in my entire life. So you guys might see this trend going around online. You might be like, oh, it's crap. It's not real. I'm telling you, don't do it.
So, I mean, so the trend is
if you catch yourself lucid dreaming and you're able to control your actions.
Okay.
Don't ask people in your dreams what time it is. I don't know what I experienced.
But do you know when you're, but that's the thing. If you're dreaming, don't you know that maybe you don't know what you're saying at the time? Because it's not really, I know it's lucid dreaming, but maybe you're not fully aware you're asking about the time.
I knew exactly right then and there. Do we have a caller?
That's interesting, Bob. We do have a caller.
Take him live.
All right, we'll take
caller
him live.
Caller on the air.
See, that's one quite a heck of a story there, Bob, with them dreams.
John, I'm telling you, that was the most horrified I've ever been in my entire life. Hands down, I've never been that scared.
Now, let me see. In all honesty, I'm trying to follow you. So
sure.
You had a dream. You woke up and you seen the spot, right?
Yes, on the wall.
Then you fell back asleep and you had a second dream?
I had about a series of, I would say, five or six dreams, all some different, like, horrifying experience happened to me.
I got you there. So you were able to fall asleep pretty quickly in between those dreams?
Yes, because I kept thinking I woke up. So I was different spot every time, but every time, I guess I would snap myself awake, but when I'd snap awake, I was still in the dream, and it was like layers to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now I got you. And the spot on the wall, it was physically on a wall.
Yeah. That's like, so it's like, right. When you wake up in the morning, if you're the same kind of like, if you sleep in the same spot or the same position every night, there's going to be a spot that comes to you that you're able to focus on every morning or every night. Whenever you wake up for that first time, there's always going to be a spot in your vision that you're always going to see. It's going to, and as long as you're in the same room, you're always going to focus in on something and wherever your line of sight lies. In this case, my line of sight lines directly on that spot in the wall. So my brain knew that I'm seeing that spot, so I must be awake.
Okay, and you had this dream after waking, what, about 4:35 or so?
About 4:35 in the morning, and it took me a little bit to try to, you know, when you get your brain moving, and it's like, oh, nope, stop, you're going back to bed for a little bit.
Because you know what, I don't have many dreams, but I have a beagle that, since I had him, he gets up like clockwork, maybe 4:30, 5:30 in the morning. 6 o'clock would be late
sure.
For him to get up. So he eats, I feed him, he eats, and then he goes outside, he does his thing, and then we come back in, and of course I'm retired, so, you know, I go back to bed, and he's in the bed with me. But it seems like the most dreams I have is in that period, like you were referred to, you got up early. I don't dream when I go to sleep at night, but when I go, you know, depending on what time we go back on the bed, either, you know, when he gets back in the house, that maybe hour or 2 hours before I wake up, that's when I have my most dreams. I don't know what, you know, if that makes any sense in what you said, but I'm just saying for myself, I'm not having any dreaming like you have, but I don't dream during the night except that short period of time when maybe, you know, I fall asleep. That's when I have my most dreams, in that hour, 2 hour of sleep, if you follow me there.
Oh, absolutely. There's things to it. There's layers.
I'm not in the dreams. I don't know, you know, the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, you said at 4:35 and I'm saying something similar, but not as what you experienced. I'm saying I have dreams in that short period of time rather than the time I go to sleep,
sure,
you know, at night until I wake up, you know. I don't know if that has anything to do.
There's patterns to sleep. I'm no expert on it, but I know when you initially go to bed, the point from when your body shuts down and goes to sleep to when the point when you start dreaming, it's actually a long period of time. You typically only dream a certain percentage of your night. It's not the full time. Like a second you conk out, you're dreaming. It actually takes a little bit to hit like that REM cycle or whatever. So maybe your body's just, dog wakes you up, you do the thing with the dog, and then you go back to bed. That's probably where your cycle's at. That's probably where your brain's like, oh, okay, it's okay, I could dream now.
Yeah, so did you try to figure out what happened to you with
honest with you, there's not anything in this world I'm afraid to research. I am afraid to research that. I'm afraid to see what other people experience during that. I talked to a couple people, and some people believe it's like my brain just my brain trying to protect me from realizing I'm in a dream. I don't know. It's really weird. Glitch in the matrix, maybe. But I appreciate you calling in, John.
Yeah, that was very interesting. I mean, well, I hope you don't go through something like that again. You know,
I certainly hope not, John.
All right, Bob. Take care.
Thanks for calling in. Do we have another caller?
No, but okay. I have a question. Now, yeah, I always hear different things. This might turn into a dream episode here, but
yeah.
I always hear different things like we're always dreaming, and that's just what we remember is key, that we're always constantly dreaming. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that true?
I don't know. I'm no dream expert.
Get the sleep psychiatrist.
We need a dream person on here. But telling you, man, that was – I just wanted to share it. Paranormal, not glitch in the matrix, maybe. I don't know. But I will tell you that, like, I am more willing to sit there and research near-death experiences than I am to ever go back to that again, like, for me to look that up. And I am terrified to do so.
Kind of like a creepypasta.
I'm not lying. I got nothing to gain from it.
No, that's not you're lying. Just the story itself.
I get it.
Yes. It has the definition to be something of on the lines of a creepypasta there, Bob. But I'm glad you made it through.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. That was terrifying.
So, and one last point on this.
Yep.
If you didn't have your phone and Elliot wasn't there, what would have been the next step, you think?
Keep trying, eventually stand up.
How do you get out of it? I don't know.
I'd panic. I don't want to think about that.
All right, Bob.
I legitimately don't want to even think about, if I couldn't find my phone, what I would have done.
Yeah, that's the thing, too.
Eventually gotten up. Maybe a cat would have gotten in, something.
Yeah, tough.
All right, you ready to jump into some spooky news other than my encounter that I wanted to share?
I don't think you could top the spooky news.
I actually can, because I got something just for you.
Okay.
Written by our pal old Tim Banal at Coast to Coast AM. Yeah. Guess who had their sixth sighting of 2022 recorded?
Who?
Your girl.
Nessie. Wow.
Yeah. A mother and daughter visiting Loch Ness spotted a strange anomaly out of the water that has been credited as this year's sixth official sighting of the site's legendary monster. The case reportedly occurred last Tuesday afternoon as an unnamed duo from the eastern part of Scotland were walking around the bank of the country's iconic site. Their trip turned truly unforgettable when the pair saw a long beak in the water, which was otherwise still and calm, approximately 600 feet from shore. Puzzled by the curious disturbance, the pair were all the more mystified by the black lump that emerged from the spot on the lock and then submerged after about 30 seconds. The duo indicate that the peculiar aquatic anomaly substantially reappeared for a few seconds later before finally sinking into the water for good. What exactly the weird wonder might have been is uncertain, though, as the witness observed that the lump appeared to be boxy in the shape and about the size of a football. It did not appear to swim about, rather it just kind of bobbed and disappeared. Fortunately, they managed a snap of the oddity, which is included in a report in the official Loch Ness Monster Sighting Register, which has been deemed a case worthy of a spot on this year's potential Nessie encounters. Hashtag panic steak.
Well, I'm glad we got a Nessie story. You don't hear too often much about her that much anymore on the show, but the sixth sighting in 1 year, that's pretty good. But here's the problem, Bob. People are always talking about, where is Nessie? They're never asking, how is Nessie?
Well, why don't you ask that question, Count, while I send you this picture so you can kind of get a look at it.
You want me to look at you got a picture of – you got the picture?
I got the picture, yeah.
I'll take a look
at it. Because I'm interested – this is usually – sometimes I want you to see things beforehand. This is something I want you to see blind.
Okay.
Children of Night, make sure you go to the Children of Night Facebook page. I'll have the image up there so you guys can see it for yourself and make your own observation on it.
Let me take a look at this.
Yes.
Bob?
By the way, folks, I sent him a link to the official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register. You can go on here, and there is every deemable photo that they would feel like it's not a hoax they put on this website. It is a very hard to see image.
It is hard.
But what do you think?
Again, it's tough to see, but who am I to say it's not Nessie?
Okay. But how is
it could
Nessie?
Be a rock, I guess, but yeah. I think it's Nessie.
I think it's fascinating that people are still seeing this this thing.
How old is Nessie?
Very old.
How long have people...
I can't know. I'm not too sure when the first sighting was. Maybe as a gift for you this December, we'll do a Loch Ness Monster
Let's
episode.
Do it. I wonder how we should, because we never did the Nessie episode.
We never did.
Wow.
Maybe this December, what I'm going to do. All right, folks, this is I'm already calling my December theme. It is going to be Christmas for the Count Month. Count Panic is going to pick every episode we do during the summer.
You did a few of them already, though. Yule Cat.
No,
did.
I want you to research and pick out whatever you want. You pick every episode
the
month.
The pants, the walking pants.
Yes, but you got to pick something new. One of our episodes will be Loch Ness Monster.
Sure, Nessie's got
to
be Nessie. One of them.
Our first week's going to be Nessie. It is up to you to pick the other three what we do. Christmas to the Count.
You got to do Nessie. I got to look back and see what you did already. But Nessie is a fascinating creature. The problem is with Nessie, I'm beginning to think, and I guess we'll find this out if we do a show, it's got to be in my mind, in my eyes, the oldest cryptid of all time.
I would say, I don't know.
Okay.
We're going to, that is one cryptid I don't know a ton of, I know the general gist, yeah. I didn't do a ton of research, but you have it. It's Christmas for the Count.
Perfect.
You picked your first episode. You got three more to go.
We could just do 4 weeks of Nessie.
No, we're not doing 4 weeks of Nessie. All right, you ready to move on to our next story? I only picked two stories this week because I want to talk about my dream encounter. Yeah. Our next one comes from anomaalien.com, anomaalien.com. This is written by that particular website, and it is titled, Women Claims to Be Eating Only Water for 41 Years. A Vietnamese woman claims to have given up solid food more than four decades ago and has since only eaten water with a little salt, sugar, and lemon juice added. 63-year-old Ngon, forgive me for maybe pronouncing that wrong, but it's N-G-O-N, Ngon, is known in her hometown as Tan Trac, Vietnamese province in Long An, for her unique diet. For the past 41 years, she allegedly lived on water with only a few grams of salt, sugar, and a little bit of lemon juice. Not only does she look great for her age, but she's in excellent health. She is always full of energy and can perform yoga poses that people a few decades younger than her wouldn't even be able to repeat. Ngon ate rice and other solid foods until she was 21 when she began having serious health problems. Her eyesight began to deteriorate, her stomach would hurt constantly, and she vomited daily. Tests showed that she was suffering from a blood disorder. After trying the prescribed treatment and not noticing any significant improvement in her health, she decided to stop taking the medication, thinking that she didn't have long to live. It was then that the doctor, doctor allegedly came to her and advised her to start drinking water mixed with a little salt and sugar to stop eating solid foods. He told her that he could squeeze some fruit juice into the water if she wanted to, but nothing else. The mysterious man told her following this diet would save her eyesight and potentially cure her blood disease, but insisted she never reveal his name to anyone because the method would be completely unscientific and people would criticize him for it. The woman kept her promise, and even after her benefactor passed away, no one, not even her family, knows his name, and no one will ever will. The only thing she can say is that this advice worked, and she is living proof of it. Nagog recalled that when she began to eat exclusively water 41 years ago, her family was strongly against it, accusing her of wanting to starve herself to death. At one point, they threatened to go on a hunger strike with her in order to die together, but she managed to convince him that she wasn't trying to do that, but quite the opposite. When her health began to improve, she no longer asked to eat normal food. The 63-year-old woman admitted that life on water alone can get a little boring at times, even if you just add a few drops of fruit juice to give it a little flavor. Sometimes she takes a period of sugar in her mouth and drinks it slowly with the water to dissolve it just to spice it up. After her health improved, Nagog decided to become a doctor. She is currently a member of the Long An Acupuncture Association and a yoga teacher. She sees commitment to promoting her active life and healthy lifestyle as a payback to the doctor who once saved her life. Hashtag panic steak.
That's an interesting lifestyle choice there, Bob, and I couldn't imagine even going with that. But just that's the thing with water, though, too. I get it's good for you. I get it's the best thing you could drink, and your body needs water. But sometimes it just feels like a chore sometimes. You need at least a little lemon zest or make it some
I mean, that's what she does.
Yeah. So, interesting characteristic right there, Bob.
I don't think I could do it. Water fasting sounds rough, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, some people all day. I guess if it's better than not drinking water, though, right? I mean, just, I don't know.
Yes. All right.
Are you a fan of flavoring the water?
Oh, my goodness. There's a specific hydration packet that I thoroughly enjoy.
What do you enjoy?
I don't want to name them.
Okay.
And I will tell you why. Because they sponsor every other podcast in the entire world but mine.
Oh, no.
Listen, hydration packet company, you know who you are. Hmm. You guys are super popular now. Wow. You're at like every major retailer. I support your product. I drink it all the time.
But how would they know if you don't?
Oh, they know. They know.
Okay.
Listen to me. I just want you to know that I believe in your product and I use it a lot in my life, especially when I travel to conventions. Mm-hmm. It fills me up. It keeps me hydrated better than regular water does.
Really?
I can't stress it enough.
Wow.
They know who they are.
You have to tell me off screen here.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Count, you ready to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, folks, for our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, stay tuned. You're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob.
What did you do during break?
Bob, I continue to call up every McDonald's here south of the Little Cow River or whatever, north of the Little Cow River. And let me tell you. They confirmed you got the last three of their kind, the McDonald's pail. So congrats to you. How about that, Bob? Look at that.
Truly.
Let me put the shot back on there one more time.
Oh, my goodness. Count. We don't have to do this.
All right, Bob. What did you do during the break?
You know, Count, I just finished my last bottle of water, and I was thinking about what I was going to flavor my next water to. I know it's not as exciting.
No. McDonald's.
Usually we have this bit where we do something exciting, but sometimes water's just the best.
It is.
Yes. Do you know what else is really cool?
What?
New York City.
I've never been.
I've been a few times. I love New York. At one point in my life, that's where I wanted to live out the rest of my days.
In the actual city?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I've been to every borough but Brooklyn. I just, being in that city is just a different feel. It's intoxicating. Yeah, the streets could get a little dirty, but man, it's just so busy and such a culture that I fell in love with it. I absolutely love New York with every inch of my heart.
City that never sleeps.
City and it doesn't. You can literally go out at like 3 o'clock in the morning, get a bagel, and there's just tons of people out, and you could go like to a bar and have a drink. I love New York City.
Right.
However, I will tell you there is something in New York City I never have done.
What?
I have never went to a Broadway show.
Okay.
That's all you got?
I said, okay, I'm confirming your status there.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, do you want to go?
I do. Phantom of the Opera is one I've always wanted to see where, you know, they lift up the chandelier.
See, I would think you're a cats guy.
No.
You have cats.
Not something I was planning in my life. No.
But now that you have cats, don't you want to go see the Broadway?
No, I do not. That Queen of the Night probably would. Not me. That's not my thing. I would love to see Phantom of the Opera. King Kong was one that was there at one point that I would have liked to seen. I'm not big on that kind of entertainment style, but to see a Broadway show would be like, you know, that's kind of a cool thing.
Say
right?
You were there.
To say that you've seen a Broadway show.
Yeah.
But what if I was to tell you that there are ghost stories nearly about every Broadway theater?
Bob, I guess I would have to believe you. Those are old theaters, aren't they?
Are you supposed to be cutting to yourself, by the
way? Oh, sorry.
It's so weird. Like, I'm looking at the TV screen while you're talking, and I'm still staring at myself.
I know. Sometimes I got carried away.
There
just
you
look
are.
I look at
Ready
you on
one,
the screen.
1-1, 2-2. There you go. You want me to direct for you?
I look at you on the screen sometimes.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sitting here staring at you, and I'm like, I'm staring at myself. I'm like, are you going to cut back? Anyway, I'm joking.
I was slouching. I'm sorry.
So there's a lot of ghost stories in and about Broadway, and I could do an entire episode about Haunted Broadway and talk about every theater, but tonight we're going to talk about probably one of the most famous ones and probably one of the most famous ghosts to haunt Broadway. Tonight we talk about the history of Broadway's Palace.
Broadway's Palace.
Palace. Broadway's Palace Theater.
Broadway's Palace Theater.
So the Palace Theater.
The Palace Theater.
This was, I'm reading from an article written by Lisa Santoro from New York Curbed.
Okay.
So we're going to read a little bit about that. I will tell you, I'm not going to tell you what ghost is supposed to haunt the place. I will tell you that there's no, that she believes that there's no place like home.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Located at Broadway at West 47th Street, the theater was built in 1913 by Milwaukee-based architecture firm Christoph & Rose. They were somewhat limited to their design potential thanks to the fact that the theater was located within a 10-story office building and surrounded by existing buildings on each side. They designed a three-level auditorium with a 16-style boxes arranged along the walls towards the stage, under a graceful arch forming a stylized sunburst above them on either side. Designed in a neoclassical style, the building featured moldings of such fruit and bread reel outline. The panels into the walls and ceilings were divided. From 1913 through 1929, the Palace would become known as the world's foremost vaudeville stage, hosting headliners like Ethel Barrymore, Will Rogers, Lillian Russell, and even the Marx Brothers, along with such performers as Sarah Bernhardt, Bob Hope, Mae West, and Bing Crosby, to name a few that have performed there and, you know, kind of got their starts there. This lengthens to the most famous adage of the time, to play the Palace signified that you officially have made it in show business. So back then, me and you, we would have had a vaudeville act. We played the Palace. We made it in that kind of show
like
business.
Like
this
was on first type deal, right?
Yeah, but this was the Marx Brothers played there, not Abbott Costello.
Okay.
I'm sure Abbott
Costello. We'll take Marx Brothers as well.
Alas, it didn't last long. Around the time of the Great Depression, the public became disinterested with vaudeville, seeking entertainment through new mediums of radio and film. As a result, the theater converted into a cinema and was renamed RKO Palace in 1932. The palace would still stage sporadic revenues over the next few decades, including a few last attempts to bring vaudeville back to stage. It attracted such stars during this time as Frank Sinatra, Danny Kaye, Harry Belafonte, and Judy Garland.
Judy Garland.
Whose final New York performances happened at that theater in 1967. Although it had disappeared from the palace stage, a certain vaudeville presence was reportedly still felt in decades to come. According to Playbill, more than 100 ghosts are said to haunt the palace. Over 100! Including a white gown cellist who plays in the pit, and who last appeared to Andrea McArdle while she was doing Beauty and the Beast there. A sad little girl who looks down from the balcony. A man in a brown suit who quickly walks past open office doors and lights up the hallway at night. And a boy who rolls toy trucks on the landing behind the mezzanine. It is also said that Judy Garland herself haunts the theater, and her presence is felt near a door that was built especially for her at the rear end of the orchestra. However, not all the ghost is seemingly benign. According to various sources, there is a ghost of an acrobat and a tightrope walker named Louis Borsalino, and Louis is said to haunt the palace. Mm. Different versions of the story suggested that he fell to his death during a performance. Stagehands have claimed that when the theater is empty, his ghost can be seen swinging from the rafters. Mm. And sometimes the spirit will let out a blood-curdling scream and then reenact his nosedive. Other sources have seen him walk the tightrope from house left box to the mezzanine. From 1935 seems to dispute this fact, reporting that there was an act incident involving this person at the palace. However, he was only listed as badly hurt, not to succumb to fatal injury, according to a New York Times article. So, such as some ghost stories, they'll say that somebody died there when sometimes they didn't, but apparently in this case he didn't die, according to the New York Times, but apparently his ghost still haunts the place.
What? How's that possible?
We'll get there. Okay. In 1965, the Nederlander organization purchased the palace from RKO Theaters and reopened it as a playhouse where shows like La Cage aux Folles and Sweet Charity premiered. During the 1980s, a towering hotel was built on top of the theater. It is now a double tree suites. Currently, the theater's facade is all entirely covered by billboards with only the marquee visible. In 2015, the Nederlander organization, partnering with the Mayfield Development, announced plans to renovate the theater to the tune of $2 billion. It's a lot of money to invest in a theater.
What was this?
This was in 2015, okay, so pre-pandemic. So modern, yep. Yeah. The revenue will open with a new facade, lobby, and marquee along West 47th Street, as well as dressing rooms and other amenities for patrons. The project, which is expected to take at least 30 months, will not commence until the show running at the Palace in American Paris encloses its doors. Despite all of its outward changes, the theater has endured and will continue to endure in the face of the new renovation plans. The interior, believe it or not, is kind of pretty much relatively the same, and it's because it's considered a New York City interior landmark. So it's a historical landmark. You can't do too much to the interior and to exterior. I guess you can renovate as long as you don't mess around with inside too much. And maybe that's why you believe that you can see the vaudeville spirits that are still hanging around there, because, you know, it still kind of has that vibe to it. And although the ghosts of the Palace Theater are well documented, they are not the only ghosts inhabiting the historic theaters of Times Square. There's been sightings at the Belasco Theater, the New Victory Theater, and the New Amsterdam Theater. So next time you're out in New York City trying to get some deals on some Broadway, maybe you pay attention for some ghostly apparitions. I find it very fascinating that Judy Garland is the ghost that's said to haunt this particular theater. She kind of had a very tragic life leading up to her demise. So it's very interesting that where her spirit says to lie is at this theater. It's also interesting that people pick out of all of the ghosts that could be haunting this place. It's said that the ghost of this trapeze artist is the one who is haunting, but he actually didn't die there. I'm curious to hear what your input is there, Count.
Yeah,
Panic.
That's the thing. And how do you really know sometimes which ghost is which? I mean, you just sense things, pick up on the mannerisms. Because if there's a ghost haunting a theater, how would I know it's Judy Garland? It could be anybody, can't it be?
If you see an like a full-on, full-body torso apparition, or like a full apparition, full-body apparition walking towards you, and it's Judy Garland, then you're like, oh, hey, that's definitely Judy Garland haunting
me. Yeah, but most ghosts are it seems like most ghosts aren't that, you know, full.
You know how hard
it
is? I can't answer this, but out of all my years in doing this and research and even in the investigation process, I could count on one hand and a half how many times I legitimately have heard in a non-bunk way that they believe they've seen a full-fledged apparition.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got your telltale signs when it comes to the paranormal. You have your squeaky floorboards, or you hear the disembodied voices, the cold spots. You've been on investigations before,
yeah.
So you get the idea. You know the skinny. It's very rare to see a full torso apparition, though. And if that's the case, and for whatever reason that people are seeing Judy Garland there, I couldn't find any research to back up if the Palace Theater allowed for a paranormal like group to go in there and do some investigations. And if they did, I'm not able to find it. I think it'd be interesting to see if they were actually able to dig up anything.
Well, I'm saying unless it's still like you see the ruby red slippers attached to Judy Garland, I feel like it would be tough to see. But the trapeze artist, Bob, that doesn't make sense to me still, because he never really did anything in that theater, but yet he's haunting the theater. Is that possible? Can you be a ghost and haunt a place you've never even been to before?
Well, he was there. He performed.
He performed,
and
but
he had a really like near fatal accident,
but
he didn't die there. Of course, you can haunt it, not die there, man. There are. If you leave a big enough energy footprint behind, you could pretty much haunt anywhere. And can you imagine like what kind of energy you have to let out at a near fatal fall, and like you see yourself falling, especially if that's something your performance has, you know what I'm saying? If you're a performer and something like that happens and you're having that big, like that much of like a fear moment, can you imagine like what that would do to you? Like that would leave a big footprint.
Yeah, that'd be terrifying. So Judy Garland and this, what's the name of the fellow again?
The trapeze artist.
Yeah.
That's a great question. I just closed out of the
article.
No
problem.
It's Luis Borislino, Borislino.
Well, I mean, that's sad, but you know, hey, depending on the way people die too, I guess you could linger on anywhere. But Judy Garland, the ghost of Judy Garland, how about that?
I will say it's really interesting that they said that there's 100 ghosts there. That's a very specific number. And they're saying, oh, there's a little boy there playing with like trucks. But why?
Isn't that the Haunted Mansion tagline? There's 99 ghosts.
And you're the 100th one.
And you're 101.
Yeah, but I don't think that's their shtick here.
No.
It's not like the Palace. It's not like the Palace Theater advertises that there's 100 ghosts there. It's not something you could go and do. I'm sure they probably offer some sort of like ghost tour or something, maybe.
That's gotta be hard to pinpoint how many ghosts exactly there are.
If you go in there and you had 100 different ghost sightings, I guess that had 100 different characteristics, like clearly different ones.
Wow.
I mean, they were saying you got this guy that's walking around turning on lights in hallways and turning lights off in offices. And
that's his thing.
There's this sad little girl that looks down from, you know, the banister or whatever.
I guess if you count them up, but it's tough. I have to pinpoint exactly how many ghosts you have in your location.
And it's interesting when you look at, you know, a big business, right? And you hear about these things that do that have these like ghost sightings, because then you have to wonder how much of this ghost sighting is real and how much are they doing it to draw business. My assumption is that the Palace Theater probably draws enough money for themselves to act without needing a ghost story. It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, again, I just don't understand how you pinpoint that, but that's fascinating, Bob. You know, you gotta figure, though, not just those theaters, but a lot of theaters in general seem like they're very popular for lingering spirits. And some of those theaters are way so old. You can only imagine what haunts those walls there. But fascinating, Bob. Fascinating.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Count, do you have any closing words for us tonight?
Bob, I'm glad you got your pails.
Yes, I'm glad I have
you go
my
home
pails
tonight?
Oh, I'm going home. I'm going to bed. And it's good to... It's, No place like home.
Oh, that's
a callback.
Callback there. But, you know, I'm glad you found a third one. A lot of people are still searching tonight. For
I'm just checking on Facebook right now. I literally just, I was logging out of things.
Are they on eBay, I wonder?
Yeah, apparently they're going for like 20, 15, 20 bucks a pop.
Interesting.
I give it a day when people start when they can't find the orange one, and people will be offering me, you know, 100 bucks a bucket or 300 for the set.
You might be able to retire off the bucket.
Yeah, $300. I could retire on that, let me tell you. Count.
Yes.
You know what next week is?
What's next week?
It's going to technically be our anniversary show.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll be 3 years.
3 years.
3 years in the bucket.
3 years proper.
3 years proper, because we're not counting 2020.
We're not counting 2020.
Because I wasn't here. I was gone for 9 months.
I feel, yeah.
So don't count 2020. Yeah. I held the show on by myself, and it was okay, but it didn't. It's good when I have you, and it's good when I'm in the studio.
Sure.
So, like, we don't count 2020 as a year.
Fine, we'll brush it aside.
We brush technically 3 years in the hole.
Take it as 3 years.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's – and right before Halloween, too.
Absolutely. We probably won't have an episode on Halloween. I'll be completely honest with you.
Well,
it falls on a Tuesday.
That would be on a Tuesday.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to come into the studio on Halloween.
No. Well, it wouldn't be on Halloween.
Our live show would be on Halloween.
No, Monday. Halloween's Monday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then we'll see you after Halloween.
But next week.
So next week's technically like our Halloween special.
Yeah.
And then we're ready to go.
Thanksgiving special.
Yes, Thanksgiving. Speaking of November, you ready to announce our what our theming is going to be for November?
Well, we're gathering up researchers here.
Yes, we're going to be talking to paranormal investigators and researchers. One of which I know we have confirmed. I'm really excited for. Do you want to announce that now or do you want to wait?
Yeah, talk to Don Bernacki.
Yes,
of course,
one of my direct inspirations for doing Bob After Dark, believe it or not.
Yeah, so we'll get him in November sometime. He's somewhere else right now at the moment, so I will get in contact with him. But
absolutely.
Saw him recently, and again, shout out to him. He conducted another great investigation last week with his students of Crown Point High School there in Crown Point, Indiana.
The John Dillinger
The old sheriff's house and jail cell, the ghost of John Dillinger, who also, I believe, the ghost of Judy Garland is sometimes lingering in those hallways as well. the ghost of John Dillinger and many other ghosts there as well. But Don Bernacki, a great guy, and I don't think we've had a lot of people on the show here before, Bob. I don't think we ever had Don Bernacki on the show.
No, and I'm looking so forward to having Don on the show.
Yeah.
That's going to be a treat for everybody. Like, we're not doing anything that episode but letting Don talk.
Because
that's, like, I'm just going to ask questions because Don will take up Don could do two episodes by himself.
Yeah.
And still find things interesting to talk about. I am so looking forward to having him on the show.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But we're going to be talking to about three or four other paranormal groups. We're trying to get Elliot and Nat back from ACG.
Yeah,
they're busy on the road. But we're going to be reaching out to some paranormal investigators and doing an entire month dedicated to paranormal researchers and investigators and just kind of celebrating that before we give Count Panic his Christmas presents, letting him picking this month.
We're going to figure out what's going on.
Absolutely. Yes. All right, folks. Thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of myself and Count Panic, we just want to wish all of you sweet dreams. To my mom, good night. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy and comfortable. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.